Second of Kings, chapter 6, the axe head. One day, the sons of the prophets that Elisha was in charge of made a complaint to him.
Why is it called the axe head?
Well, we're going to read about the axe head as we go on. So these sons of the prophets were young men who supported the prophets and learnt from them and learnt the word of God. And so they were living in these communities, and one of them comes with a complaint. He said, "This place where we're living is too small for us. Can you allow us, please, to go to the Jordan and cut down some trees, and then we can build there a place to live?" Elisha agreed. They encouraged and urged Elisha to go with them, and he agreed. And so they went together. When they got to the River Jordan, they began to work, cutting these trees down. But as one of them was cutting down a tree, suddenly his iron axe head flew off and fell in the water. Now, iron was valuable, and so this was a big loss. And the man says, "What shall I do? It was a borrowed axe." In other words, it wasn't his. He borrowed it from someone. He had to give it back to them. And now the axe head, which was the most valuable thing, had flown off into the water. Elisha asked him, "Where did the axe head fall?" The man showed him the place, and Elisha cut down a stick and threw it into the water, and the axe head floated. Now, of course, an axe head of iron would fall to the ground, it would fall to the bottom of the river. It floated and it swam. "Take it out," said Elisha, and the man bent down into the river and picked it up. Now, the king of Syria was at war with Israel. Now, you remember, who was the king of Syria's captain and general? It was Naaman, who'd become a believer in Yahweh, the God of Israel. And he discussed with his officers and chose a place to set up his camp. That's where the army was going to camp. But Elisha sent word to the king of Israel and warned him not to go near that place because the Syrian soldiers were going to be there in ambush. That is, they were going to jump out on him or the Israelite soldiers. So the king of Israel warned the men who lived in that place so that they were careful not to be ambushed. And this went on several times. The Syrians planned an ambush. They were waiting there in the bushes, and nobody came. So the king of Syria was really concerned about this, and he called all the officers and said, "Look, which one of you is on the side of the Israelites?" One of them said, "None of us are on the side of the Israelites, but it's the prophet Elisha. He knows everything. He can even tell the king of Israel what you say inside your own bedroom." The king of Syria ordered, "Find out where he is and I'll capture him." And he was told that Elisha was in Dothan, and so he sent a large army there with horses and chariots. They came to Dothan at night time and they encircled it. They surrounded it. Early the next morning, Elisha's servant, who I presume was still Gehazi, who still had the skin disease from lying about getting money out of Naaman, and he got up early in the morning, went out of the house, and he saw the Syrian soldiers with their horses and chariots surrounding the town of Dothan. He ran back to Elisha and said, "We're doomed. Whatever can we do?" "Don't be frightened," Elisha replied. "We have got more on our side than they have on theirs." And then Elisha prayed, "O Lord God, open this man's eyes that he might see." And God answered the prayer, and Elisha's servant looked up and saw the side of the hills covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So those horses and chariots were the angels, the cherubim. And Elisha was so convinced that the angels were there, although he couldn't see them, that he doesn't even pray that... Sorry? The cherubim. Well, there's visions of the cherubim, especially in Ezekiel, and they are like horses and chariots, and inside the chariots are lots of angels. And they're like figures that turned around and had wheels. So... And they're sort of associated with the angels. Elisha was so sure that they were there that he doesn't even say, oh, let me see them. He knew they were there. But instead he says, open this young man's eyes that he may see them. And so the angels are with us. And you remember when Peter was in prison, an angel came and opened the doors and led him out and led him through two streets. And then he disappeared. Now, while the angel was with Peter, Peter would have been thinking, wow, nothing can go wrong now. And then the angel disappeared. But of course, the angel didn't disappear. The angel was there. It's just that Peter couldn't see him. And if only we could feel and believe that the angels are with us, that would really affect how we behave. So, when the Assyrians attacked, Elisha prayed, O Lord, strike these men down. Strike these men blind. And the Lord answered his prayer and struck them blind. Then Elisha went to them and said, you're going the wrong way. This is not the real town that you're looking for. Follow me, I'll lead you to the person that you really want. And he led them to Samaria. Once they'd entered the city, Elisha prayed, open their eyes and let them see. Now, they were right inside the city of Samaria, which was the capital, really, of Israel, of the 10 tribes, where the king was there and wasn't very friendly towards Elisha. When the king of Israel saw the Syrians, he said to Elisha, Shall I kill them? No, Elisha said, not even soldiers who have been captured should ever be put to death. Instead, give them something to eat and drink and let them return to their king. So the king of Israel provided a great feast for them, and after they'd eaten and drunken, he sent them back to the king of Syria. And from then on, the Syrians stopped attacking the land of Israel. Well, that was grace, because you don't let your enemy go free. But that was quite different what Elisha did. He said, give these enemy soldiers something to eat and drink. Because they were, I guess, hungry. They hadn't been able to see, and they'd had to walk all the way from Dothan to Samaria. And because of showing them that grace and not killing them, because they were all blind, it would have been really easy to kill them. By showing them that grace, they went away. And there's a lesson there that by showing real grace to someone, this can resolve a lot of problems. And there's a proverb that says that a soft answer turns away wrath.